Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwin.
And I'm Bruce Gellerman. Poet T.S. Eliot wrote, "April is the cruelest month." And this April brings cruel reminders of disasters a year ago in two important energy-producing regions of our country. It was on April 5th, 2010, that Massey Energy's Upper Big Branch coal mine exploded in West Virginia. It was the nation's worst mining disaster in 40 years. Then on April 20th, the BP Deepwater Horizon oil rig exploded in flames and sank in the Gulf of Mexico, triggering our biggest oil spill. Those twin disasters, just 15 days apart, put in stark view the costs some places pay for the coal and oil we consume. Here's Living on Earth's Jeff Young.
A year ago this month, 40 men went to work to bring energy to America, and they never came back. 29 men died in the Upper Big Branch mine. 11 died on the Deepwater Horizon rig. At memorial events this month, they're remembered as men of faith and family, small-town roots, and blue-collar pride. Here are two of those stories, as told by people left behind. Roy Wyatt Kemp of Jonesville, Louisiana, was 27. He worked for Transocean on the Deepwater Horizon. He had two children. Courtney Kemp is his widow.
Well, I actually started dating in high school. We were both 15, actually. We, you know, were just high school sweethearts. We did everything together. Everybody says we grew up together. And then in 2004, we got married, and he just really, really enjoyed family and friends and just loved being with his girls.
Gary Wayne Corals of Neoma, West Virginia, was 33. He worked for the Massey Energy subsidiary that ran the Upper Big Branch mine. He had two children. His father, Gary Corals, is also a miner.
Gary Wayne had been in the mines for 13 years. He worked when he first came out of high school at a sawmill just for a little while, and then he went to work underground. He said, "I've been in the mines crawling in mud, working in water up to my waist. That's what you work in." But he was about like me. He didn't mind it.
You know, it takes a special kind of guy to be able to work out in the Gulf, and he loved his job. The oil field definitely has its ups and downs, you know. Of course, most of the guys hate being away from their family, but enjoy their time off. And he really enjoyed that and being able to hunt and fish and do whatever he wanted when he was at home and just really enjoyed the outdoors. And he has a duck dog, Ellie. It's a chocolate lab that's, you know, pretty much his best friend, rides around with him all the time and all that kind of stuff when he was at home.
Me and him hunted a lot. Turkey hunted and deer hunted. Me and him would die every day if we didn't have to work. The headstone that we got for him is a big buck mounted with a set of big horns and bears and turkeys and water running like a stream. But that was him. He loved it.
Gary Corals says there was never much question about what his son would do for a living. In the Coal River Valley, coal is what people do. Courtney Kemp says her husband's choices were limited, too.
Well, you know, where we live in, we live in central Louisiana, and basically our state is the oil industry or agriculture. You're walking down the road, you know, in our hometown, probably 80% of the men who live here work in the oil field in some shape or form. So that was nothing new, nothing really, you know, special to us. You know, that's just the way of life.
I'm looking at a mountaintop removal from my kitchen door. I mean, I don't want to see the mountains tore up, but when it comes right down to it, it's jobs. My dad was a coal miner. My two brothers was a coal miner. And my two grandpas both were coal miners. And the grandpa on my dad's side, he was killed in the coal mines. And as far as I know, it's always been coal mining, you know. But then the explosion happened, and I ain't been back to work underground since. as far as I'm concerned, I've spent my last day in the ground for 34 years, and I see a psychiatrist, and I told him, I said, you know, I've never been afraid to go underground, and he said, it's not nothing about being afraid. It's up in your head, you know. It's just things that just ain't right no more, you know.
You know, one of the hardest things that I did, you know, when Transocean shipped me Wyatt's truck back, it was a couple weeks before I would drive it, and I had to drive it to town and get some gas, and I opened up his gas tank, and on the actual gas lid, when you open it up, it says BP, and it has the BP symbol. And that would be very, very minute to anybody else. Like, people basically wouldn't even pay attention to that. But to me, I lost it right there. It was just gut-wrenching.
Courtney Kemp remembering her husband, Wyatt, and Gary Quarles talking about his son, Gary. Two of the men lost in last year's disasters, two families that paid a price for energy that doesn't show up at the gas pump or on an electric bill. Next week, we'll hear how coal and oil have shaped the people and places that provide energy.
Whether it's the Louisiana oil fields or coal fields in West Virginia, any place where you have a major extractive industry and that's the dominant industry in a place, then you're going to have the same situation.
For Living on Earth, I'm Jeff Young.